Because I think if you really do just jump into it and you're like, how to take amazing photos, and then you see all these amazing photographers and you see all these people doing such crazy stuff, it's really intimidating, right? You see it and you're like, I'm not that. How am I even supposed to even think about doing that? But I think it's the same thing with any profession, not just photography. Like, okay, let's use a crazy example. If I were to look at a doctor and be like, I want to be a doctor, that's impossible for me to think I'm going to do that overnight. It's the same thing with photography. You're not going to be an Annie Leibovitz. You're not going to be a Platon. You're not going to be any of these people right off the bat. What makes them them is the continued education throughout the life of photography that they've picked up, but it starts today.
Hey, welcome to episode 324 of the Beginner Photography Podcast, brought to you by CloudSpot, the easiest way to deliver and sell photos online. I'm your host, Raymond Hatfield, and today we are chatting with product photographer Evan Tanaka about creating a standout product image, even if you're just shooting out of your garage. So looking into Evan and trying to learn more about him before our interview, you know, in a relatively short amount of time, Evan has taken his photography from taking a few photos of some clothes to creating a real production company with team members working with some of the world's like biggest brands. And if you just take a look at his Instagram, he's got a ton of behind the scenes videos that, well, I hate to say it, but they seem deceptively simple, right? But despite that, Evan is able to create some amazing, amazing results with these simple setups. And it's really cool to take a look at. So if you get a chance, go check out Evan's Instagram, which is in the show notes. But with that, let's just go ahead and get on into today's interview with Evan Tanaka. Evan, when did you know that photography was going to first play an important role in your life?
That's a great question. When did I first think that photography was going to play an important role in my life? So it's interesting. Like, I didn't set out to be a photographer. I didn't go to school for this. I didn't think it was going to be part of my life any way, shape or form. Like, of course, growing up, you have your Polaroid cameras and you like to play around with your parents' cameras and things like that. But it never occurred to me like this is going to be something I was going to be doing until I was probably in grad school, and it wasn't that long ago. If you really think about it, I was probably 25, 26. And I picked up the camera for the first time, like really actually utilizing it, because I was trying to start my own brand. And I was starting, it was like the athleisure brand, and I needed to make my own content, and I worked for free because I had no money to pay for anybody else to do it. And that's when I started really experimenting, taking photos, learning about lenses. Like I'm telling you, I had zero idea what I was doing. Like, they gave me a camera from the library, which is another funny story, because I basically lied to the school and told them I was taking like photography 2017, and that had nothing. There was no class, but they still rented me a camera every single week from the library. So I taught myself how to take photos. And I remember they actually told me, like, you know, oh, Evan, we got the 50 millimeter in. Do you want to try that? And I was like, a what? Like, what do you mean a 50 millimeter? Like, I thought it's a camera. I just take photos with it. It was a slow learning process for me in the very beginning, because again, I didn't see myself as a photographer. I saw myself as an entrepreneur and wanting to do things in that realm of like creating a brand. But pretty quick after, like, I started releasing photos and things, I was like, oh, this is actually really interesting, and I really like it. It was another creative artistic outlet for me. And then, you know, I think when I finally got my first paid job, it wasn't paid, it was for trade. I was like, people are willing to like bring me on to, you know, shoot photos. This is different than I anticipated. So I think at that moment I realized, like, oh, this is kind of like, I feel like this can be a hobby that I continue to do with my 9-to-5 job. It still hadn't taken over my life yet, but it was still something that I had passion for, that I loved, that I was willing to educate myself on my free time with. And yeah, so it probably only was when I was like 27, mm-hmm. when I was like, all right, cameras is going to be a part of my life for a while.
Wow. So I love what you said there. You know, you started out, You knew that you wanted to be an entrepreneur. You knew that you had dreams of, you know, creating this thing for yourself, right? This business for yourself. And it was just that the product, I guess, that you're selling had switched. So now photography and videography is that thing. So when you were still doing your full-time job, right, your 9-to-5 thing, and then you decided, I'm going to use this as like a cool hobby and still like make some money on the side with that.
Yeah.
Where, like at this point, like, I guess, how were you educating yourself on photography? Was it just all trial and error? Because as you said earlier, there's terms like 50 millimeter lens and all these things. Where did the education for that come in?
I think it was a lot of it was trial and error. And since I had no education and nobody was teaching me, I didn't have a mentor. I didn't really have friends I was hanging out with that were photographers. So it was all really anything that basically any issue I ran into on a shoot that I was doing that was either, you know, personal or someone hired me for, I'd be like, why are my photos so blown out? When I go shoot outside, why when I shoot in low light or in a dark room, I didn't know it was called low light at that point, but in a dark room, is it so fuzzy? And when I try and bump up, you know, the brightness in my camera, like I didn't understand that when you bump up ISOs, like it's going to create some grain. I didn't realize that you could change shutter speed to adjust for the background lighting. Like, so every time I ran into that issue, I jump to YouTube, I jump on Instagram, I jump and I Google it, I'd find out, and I would just self-educate based on the issues I was running into.
Wow. Okay. So let me see. Cause I know that when it comes to a lot of new photographers, they get this idea of like, I really love photography. I want to learn as much as I can. So then they, like you, will go to YouTube. But one thing that I often hear from them is just how overwhelming it can be, right? There's a lot of information. So tell me if I'm right here. You weren't trying to learn everything about photography. You would go out and shoot. And once you discovered a problem, you would only look for a solution for that issue.
I think in the very beginning, that's what it was. Because again, I didn't see myself as a photographer. I saw myself as a entrepreneur and a brand owner. And so it wasn't me necessarily like, you know, I want to get better photos. It was, or before I go out and shoot, I want to get a specific type of photo. It was me coming back and being like, these photos are terrible for me to put up. How do I make them better? And that's how it started. In the very beginning. Now, I mean, and then when I started actually really falling in love with cameras and what it is, that's when I started integrating and like made a promise to myself every new photo shoot I did. And this is probably like a year and a half, 2 years in when I really started taking it seriously. I wanted to integrate one new technique, skill set, whatever it might be. And it was anything from ranging from, you know, freezing motion in action or using ND filters or using a pro mist or, you know, little things like that. I would just like try and find a way to integrate it into new photo shoots. So then I started like thinking, instead of thinking of the issue, then find the solve. It was more of like, how can I just take my photography a step further before I even go out there and shoot?
Sure. Do you feel like you had to have some level of competency before you got to that exploration phase? Yeah.
For me, the way that I did it when I was like looking for problems to solve basically made it more digestible for me, because I think if you really do just jump into it and you're like, you know, how to take amazing photos, and then you see all these amazing photographers and you see all these people doing such crazy stuff, it's really intimidating, right? You see it and you're like, I'm not that. How am I even supposed to even think about doing that? But I think it's the same thing with any profession, not just photography. Like a doctor, okay, let's use a crazy example, a doctor. If I were to look at a doctor and be like, I want to be a doctor and I want to know their knowledge, like what they're doing, that's impossible for me to think I'm going to do that overnight. Like you're just not going to be that. They go to school, that takes some time. They're going to do reading, they're going to educate themselves. And it's the same thing with photography. You're not going to be an Annie Leibovitz. You're not going to be a Platon. You're not going to be any of these people right off the bat. What makes them is the continued education throughout the life of photography that they've picked up. But it starts today. And it's one step at a time. And it's going to take you a while to get there, but it's going to pay off. It's going to be that beneficial, rewarding, because you're going to develop your own self of style and photography.
If you could fit that on a shirt, you should do that because you'd sell a million copies of that. That was perfect right there. That was fun. When it comes to that learning aspect, still even going back earlier, right, before you were really like even exploring stuff, when you're in this phase of taking photos and figuring out like, wait, I don't really like this. I need to figure out how this thing works. Was there anything in particular that was like especially a struggle for you to like really figure out or like get a grasp on?
I think a lot of it, because in the beginning, it was much more about natural light. So I think once I switched over to studio photography, that was a really big learning curve for me. And I'm not going to say using natural light is easier than studio photography using artificial light. But for me, since it was such a run and gun feel and more carefree, and I was so used to it that when I was confined to a smaller location, I had to be the sun, essentially, right? I have to create my own sun. I have to figure out how to shape the light. I need to make it soft. I make it, you know, harsher light, whatever it might be. That was a big learning curve. And I'm still learning about how to shape light and make it certain ways. Like sometimes I'll just go into my studio garage and I'll just like take a bottle that I'm like a Topo Chico bottle or something that I'm drinking and try and see how soft I can get the light, how hard I can get the light. But I think making that switch from natural light photography to studio photography was a pretty hard learning curve for me to really grasp.
What happens if you go out into your studio garage, which, by the way, I have a question for here soon. But let's say you go out into your studio garage and you're trying to take that bottle and you're trying to just get the light as soft as possible or as hard as possible. And it's just not working. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, what do you do in those situations? Like, how do you work through these things to find creative solutions?
I just quit and I stop. I run away. No,
yes, I love it.
We were talking about patience. Patience is something that really comes in handy for situations like this. Now, I am the first to say that I am not the most patient person. Anybody that's worked with me, I am a tornado when it comes to getting the shot. I don't care about the mess I'm creating. I don't care about the crappy rig that I have that's holding up whatever I'm taking a photo of, because whatever matters in that frame, that's what I care about. I'm not the one to say I'm the most patient person, but it truly helps when you're trying to solve a problem. You go layer by layer, very similar to like Photoshop or something like that, where it's like you can't put the entire effect, you can't put the entire color balance, all that stuff into one layer, because you're not going to know how to fine tune it. Everything is a little layer by layer. And that's why on a Photoshop, on a photo, you have 50 layers, because you're going to fine tune it. And it's the same thing when you're out in the garage and shooting and trying to teach yourself a new skill, or the garage in my case, is that I take it layer by layer. All right, here we have a light source and a bottle. This light is too hard. All right, let's obviously throw up a piece of diffusion. Okay, that diffusion made it a little bit softer, but it's still wrapping around the bottle in a weird way. All right, let's try and take that diffusion and move the light backwards. Okay, that's not working. Let's bring the light down. Let's bring in a bounce. Let's bring in another layer of diffusion. Let's light it from the back. And that's how I approach those problems. I think it's a really common mistake, honestly, in studio photography, where people will set up all their lights and then they'll have three lights going and they'll be like, and they'll fire a photo and then they try and adjust it from there. And I think that's the wrong way to set up your lights. I think you should really focus on one light, one angle at a time, and then you can build on top of that. That's how I approach my creative problem solving.
That's solid advice because as you said earlier, it's not that natural light is necessarily easier, but when you do add something like a studio light or a flash, that does add an additional element of something that you have to control, which can seem stressful, especially in the beginning. But let's get back to how you got into product photography. So obviously you had a brand here. You had to take photos for yourself. And now were these photos were interesting enough or good enough that other people were saying, hey, actually, I would like you to do that for me as well?
So when I first started off, I really didn't actually do product photography. I was doing clothing stuff, so more like lifestyle And then I got asked to do my very first shoot after I graduated from grad school. I moved back down to Los Angeles. I was moonlighting at another 9-to-5 job. And I got asked to do a photo shoot, a lifestyle photo shoot, and they did it for trade. And that's when that kind of light clicked. And I was like, oh, there people find value in this. But when I got into product photography, I had been doing it, but not focusing on it. And it was really the pandemic that when that pandemic hit, I was isolated and wasn't able to shoot with people anymore. And so what did I have available to me? It was products. And I would find products laying around the house. I would go to the grocery store. I'd buy 99-cent candy. I would take photos of it. And then I would eat it, because then I made a deal with myself of I have to shoot it before I can eat it. And it just kind of helped me to make sure I was staying consistent, especially during a time when a lot of people felt like they couldn't do anything. And I was able to, you know, I adapted to what I had available to me at that moment.
If you're ready to turn your lens towards a profitable future, but are unsure how to stand out in a competitive market, well, then I've got just the solution for you. I'm thrilled to offer you exclusive access to our free video training called Maximizing Mini Sessions. It's put on by the legendary duo Philip and Eileen Bloom. This video webinar is designed specifically for photographers like you who are eager to learn the art of effective marketing and promotion and who want to start earning money with your camera. This isn't about just taking great photos. It's about making sure the right people see them. Discover the power of mini sessions, the secret of promoting them, not just to get noticed, but to truly stand out. Learn the best timing and tactics to catch your audience's eye and get them in front of the camera. So if marketing has been your stumbling block, then wait no more. Visit beginnerphotopod.com/mini to sign up for your free video training now. It's time to put your photography in the spotlight where it belongs. So that's got to be a big switch, going from having somebody in front of your camera to something in front of your camera. What are the major differences for you? Like, how do you separate those two?
I think the biggest difference is, to me, in product photography, it's all about you, like you as a photographer. There is no relying on somebody else to help you in the moment. Whereas in lifestyle photography, and it can be make it easier, it can make it harder, but it's a give and take. You're working with somebody, you're getting emotions, you're having them do actions and movement and everything. And you're a team in that sense, where you have the photographer, you have the talent. Now, the product isn't going to do anything for you. It's not going to move. It's not going to change its angle. It's not going to smile for you. It's going to be up to you to create that moment for the product, whether it's changing the light, changing the angle, adding motion, adding ingredients, adding whatever you feel like will bring it to life. It's really about your vision. So some people really like that because you have the control and being able to do whatever you want. But some people like the free nature of working with talent because of that give and take.
Mm. You brought up some interesting things there. Like, it's all about you, and like, you have to really figure out how you want a photo to look and what you are trying to say with a photo. Mm. But I'm sure that when you work with brands, maybe they have ideas of what they want photos to look like. So can you kind of walk me through maybe creating a shot list for a certain product, right? Like, you have these product photos, and then you also have some more lifestyle images where people are, say, enjoying the product. What questions are you asking the brand to ensure that you can deliver exactly what they're looking for?
No, that's a great point. And when it comes to product photography, especially when you're working with like CPG brands or anything like that, they all have a very specific vibe, a look, a style. And I always try and make sure I'm asking questions and I'm matching whatever that is for them. Else, it doesn't matter how good the photo is. If it doesn't match what it looks like on their social media or their website or their brand vibe, they're not going to want to use it and they're not going to hire you again. So the things I'm asking is, you know, let me see what shots do you like? What shots do you not like in terms of even what you've done in the past? That way it gives me an idea of what, you know, the feeling is. Are we a smiley brand? Are we a posy brand? Are we a brand that never looks at camera? Do we love showing? Are we bright colors? Are we dark colors? Do you have a color palette? The style guide is super helpful. Especially when it comes to like product photography. If they have a style guide, fantastic, because it'll tell you the colors to use, is colors to stay away from. It'll even usually give you some inspo of like what feels good to them. These are all really important questions to ask even before you, you know, start planning out your photos or your photo shoot.
So let's say a company says like, we're very bright, we're very smiley, we want to look at the camera, we're very happy about these things. And it feels like they gave you like, here's what we want, give us this. How do you infuse who you are as a photographer into those images so that they feel like a, you know, like one of your photos?
Yeah, it is a balance, because in the world of commercial photography, it is very different than being an artist per se, you know, someone who just has full control of their art. Because you do need to make sure that the client is happy. And that's what I pride myself on, is I will try and infuse my style into it, however, by staying true to what the brand is. You know, a lot of times what I'll do on photo shoots is I'll be very specific with them. And I'll be like, here are the shots that we thought about and we talked about. Let's capture those. Now let's play. And let's see what else we can get. And I like doing that in that way, because I'm giving them what we've talked about. I'm showing them exactly the, you know, the light, the smiley, the posy, the straight on, the non-distorted 50 millimeter, 85 millimeter look, the lighting. And then I'll say, you know, let's spend, you know, 20 minutes to see if you're liking any of my style that I really like infusing, which will, I'll throw in a 16 to 35. I'll get a little bit more edgy. I'll find fun angles. I'll climb on tables. You know, I'll start trying to do a little bit more, but at the same time, because we've nailed our initial shots, our initial shot list. So whenever I'm planning a photo shoot, I always like to buffer a little bit of time to just play.
Hey, Raymond here, and we will get back to today's show in just a moment. Do you want your photos to have more life? Do you want to know exactly what camera settings to use and why? Well, professional photographers all over the world capture beautiful images by shooting in manual mode. Why? Because it unlocks your camera's full potential. But how do you know what settings you should use? Well, I want to break that down for you in my free ebook, Picture Perfect Camera Settings, which you can download over at perfectcamerasettings.com. In the book, I'm going to share different lighting situations that you'll find yourself in, and photos that I've captured with real camera settings, and how to know which settings to change to get the look that you want. So don't wait. Download your free copy over at perfectcamerasettings.com to unlock your camera's full potential. Now, let's get back to today's interview. I love that, because so many people I've heard, you know, I think it's kind of difficult in photography where it's like many people feel like they should only be hired because of their creative vision, but yet they haven't really exactly figured out what their creative vision is. So therefore, like, there's always this kind of disconnect, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I made this thing for them and they don't really like it, but I like it. But is it good? You know, I guess that's kind of up to whoever. But you right there saying like, look, you got to get those shots that they want. You got to get the safe shots. You got to get the shot list done. And then you can go off and explore your own creative ideas. So my next follow-up question to that is, how often do you find a brand will use those creative ideas over the photos that they thought that they wanted? Does that make sense?
Oh yeah. It really is dependent on the brand. If I had to give it like a percentage, I'd say like 50-50. Some brands are very stuck in their ways. And maybe they're just more of a classical brand and more traditional. So here's the thing. All right, let me back up a little bit. It really boils down to the size of the brand that I usually work with. the small to medium sized brands have a lot more flexibility in the story that they're telling visually, because usually they're still young. They're still trying to figure out their own vibe and style and everything. So they are looking for a photographer to help them develop that. And I love that, because I can come in and be like, here's what you guys have done. Here's maybe a way to spice it up. And then they'll take from that and we can adapt and move forward and, you know, try and integrate a little bit of both of us into the shots going forward. Now, the flip side of that is the larger brands. They're much more solidified in what they look like, what their approval process is. They have, it's not just the photographer working with the marketing director and the CEO anymore. That's the small, medium brands. Now it's the photographer working with the brand manager who has their boss, who has their boss, who has their boss, who has their boss, and so on and so forth. Sometimes, I mean, I just did a shoot with a financial institution, and we also have to go through legal before anything is done for each set of photos or videos that we do. There's a 10-day approval process just on legal, not even on the creative. So it's just like those types of brands are much harder and more rigid in terms of like being flexible. Do they want some, you know, lifestyle or some of the photographer, videographer's style in there? Of course, but as long as it's within the borders of what they've already established as their brand. And I think it's important, if you are a photographer or a filmmaker trying to make it in commercial photography or in the commercial world, you do need to be respectful of that, because what they're doing has worked for them. And there's a reason they're continuing to do it. If they come to you and ask you to redesign and everything, totally different story. Mm-hmm. But if they're coming for you for more content creation, I think there is a lot more of a, listening or learning from their style guide and being able to adapt to what they need while still having fun with it and infusing yourself into it, but stay within those borders.
Yeah, I love that. I really don't think many photographers, working photographers, right? Like commissioned photographer. I don't think that it's possible to just shoot whatever you want and make a living off that. I really think that, like, if you're a commissioned photographer, you are solving somebody's problem, and therefore there's some sort of expected deliverable, right, of what you're going to be able to deliver, and you need to be able to do that. So this idea of the artist who only does exactly what they want wherever their heart takes them is very difficult to be.
Yeah, it, people can make a great career off of doing that. And more power to them. And I hope that in my life, I get to a place where I can really just be myself in terms of the photography or videos that I'm making and be, I mean, you look at someone like a Tarantino, like, you know, it's his film.
Yes.
When he shoots it, like, and he's earned that right. And then you look at an Annie Leibovitz photo, I can tell right off the bat, it's an Annie Leibovitz photo, but that's them. And they've made a career off of that. And that's fantastic. But in the commercial world, it's a tiny bit different.
Mm-hmm. I got a question here, and it's about what you talked about earlier. You talked a little bit about Photoshop and whatnot. And I know that many people who are thinking about getting into product photography, you kind of covered, we can just go into our cabinets, get something of ours, go out into the garage and like try it ourselves. So actually, let me start with that. Let's go back to that garage question. And that is working out of your garage. I think many people do have a garage, right? They can open up the garage. I have a garage. Outside of simply having a garage, what else, what sort of equipment, what things do we need to start a home garage product photography studio?
Yeah. Well, first of all, you don't need a garage. I like the garage because I make a mess and I need to splash and powder everywhere. My wife would kill me if I did that inside. But so you don't need a garage. You can do it in a room. When I started out shooting at home during the pandemic, I didn't have all the nice equipment that I was able to like slowly acquire over the past few years. It was really a camera. I think I had a couple of panel lights that were very like low end. I won't say the brand name, but it was very low end. I think I got it off of Amazon for like a couple $100, and it was like a set of three. And that was it. That was really all I had. I didn't have, you know, the fancy monitors. I didn't have the C-stands. I didn't have the pro photo lights. I didn't have the aperture lights that I have now. Like it was, and it was also a lower end camera. I had to work up to get those pieces of equipment that fit the need and the problem that I was trying to solve, whether it was just like, oh, I can't get this shot, or I want to get this specific kind of shot, so I need specific equipment. So to me, what I like to tell new creators is that get out of your head and thinking that you need all this equipment. You don't. If you have a camera, fantastic. If you don't have a camera, there's definitely ways to try and get it. Like I said, when I was in school, I went to the library and said I had a class and they gave me one for free. I had to do that for 2 years. And it was probably in the third year, I was finally able to afford my own camera. So there's ways to do it. And so get out of your head. Stop thinking you need all this different equipment that you see online, on social. All you need is your subject, whether that's a product or a person, and a camera, and go out and shoot something. Something is better than nothing every single time.
I agree with that 100%, 100%. So it sounds like, as you said, your studio kind of grew as mm-hmm. your needs grew. So as somebody who, now correct me if I'm wrong here, it seems like most of the products that you're posting on Instagram they could probably fit in your hand or they're smaller, tangible products. So mm-hmm. for you, like, what sorts of setup do you have? Do you just have like a seamless white backdrop and that's it and some lights? Or how do you, okay, let's make this a little bit more refined here, right? Let's yeah. think of, you've worked with like, let's do the hydration powder brand that you've worked with. Okay.
Liquid IV. Yep.
You have these, right? You have these things. You have a conversation with the company of like what they're thinking of for these photos. Now, how do you build a set to match the images that they're looking for? Are you ready to transform your love for photography into profit? Imagine capturing beautiful moments while bringing in a little extra money for your family each month. Sound too good to be true? With CloudSpot, it's not just a dream. Designed by photographers for photographers, CloudSpot simplifies your business. Effortlessly organize shoots, send professional contracts, questionnaires, invoices, and enjoy faster payment payouts with the lowest fees in the industry, including PayPal. Forget lost emails and messy spreadsheets. CloudSpot offers a streamlined workflow, letting you focus on the moment. And here is the clincher. Grab your free CloudSpot account at deliverphotos.com and you'll get access to my personal wedding and portrait contracts and questionnaires. So don't let uncertainty hold you back. Embrace the future of photography business management with CloudSpot Studio. Sign up at deliverphotos.com today and transform your passion into profit.
I mean, it's all based on the needs and the creative. So we're like, we did a shoot with them and we're like, we want to infuse more color into this one flavor because it was cotton candy and, you know, the pinks and the blues and make you think of like that. So when I was thinking about it, like, I don't normally shoot with a lot of color sometimes, or I take that back. Recently, I've been shooting a lot more with color because I find it a lot of fun. But before, I wasn't using too many colored lights. So I knew I wanted to bring in gels. I wanted to bring in an RGB from Aperture. That shoot also came at a time that I had more equipment. So I was able to like play a lot more and be like, okay, what are some fun ways to spice it up? But setting up for a shot is the same with every single brand that I work with. You know, give me the creative, we'll look at it, we'll review it. We'll see what the needs are. If it is a seamless, that all we need. If it's just going to be like e-com, then we'll just use one. We could use one light, two lights, white seamless, shoot it in the garage, pretty easy. But then based on what the needs are, we can just basically scale from there.
Mm-hmm. Are you typically shooting both, like just regular product photos for e-commerce background?
I do shoot e-com stuff. I don't do it too often, just because I think where like my studio fits better is more of like the bringing photos to life mm-hmm. kind of a sense. E-com photos are fantastic. And when we get to do e-com photos, I always try and nudge a brand a bit. Here's me almost like going back on what I said of like, oh no, listen to the brand only do what they do. But I always like, if we're going to be the ones doing the e-com shots, I always like to say, let's do something more than just a typical white backdrop. Because let's be honest, those shots are fairly simple to do. And maybe there's another studio that's more gear to just, you know, crank those out, maybe at a lesser rate, whatever it might be. But if you want to come to us, I always try and nudge them, like, let's do something a little bit different. if you want to work with us for those e-com shots. So even those, I try and spice up a little bit.
I gotcha. Try to move them on down the pipeline there. I got it.
Yeah.
So I know that, let's get back to the Photoshop thing that that you had talked about earlier. You know, when I look at your photos, there's a lot of symmetry in your photos, right? There's a lot of things are lined up very well. And obviously part of that takes place in camera. So tell me how much of your finished product is about getting it right in camera versus making adjustments in Photoshop. Is that even a fair question? Like, does every photo go through Photoshop?
Every photo does. I mean, in some sense, right? Whether it's just like playing with some highlights and that's all we need, or it's totally like compositing photos or anything like that. I hate the phrase, you know, it's coming, fix it in post. Uh-huh. I hate it so much because it's, to me, that takes away from what is accomplished on set in photo. You're almost taking away from the art of taking a photograph because you're just like, oh, fix it in post. And then it's easy. Right. And that's not true. Photoshop and Lightroom and post-production is an art form in itself. And I feel like that whole phrase belittles what Photoshop, how talented those people are that can do amazing things on it. So I hate that phrase. It also takes away from the talent of the photographer that's trying to make that photo come to life. You're basically saying it's not good enough. Let's fix it in post. So there's my spiel on that phrase. However, what I will say, it is very important to me. I like getting everything done in camera that I can. So most of the photos that you see me take, I've seen it so much online, and they tell me like, oh, you could do this in Photoshop. I did a shot with White Claw not too long ago, and it was like a frame with a photo or with a White Claw in the center. There was like this pattern in the backdrop that mimicked or mirrored the can itself. But the way I did it was I shot it like in a forced perspective way so that when you went to the side, it was in layers. So the can out here, you had the frame out here, then you had the pattern right here, and then back another step, you had the actual backdrop. And then when you took a photo from the front, it would look like one flat image. Mm-hmm. And everybody was telling me you can do that in post in Photoshop super easily. And to me, it's like you could, but I like getting everything done in camera. To me, that's part of the adventure. That's part of the whole process of doing this. Photoshop and After Effects and all that stuff are really great, but I think if we're going to just rely on that, where's the art in terms of like the photograph itself? So to me, because I'm not an After Effects person, I'm not an extreme Photoshopper, and I like to take care of things myself. The camera is where I focus. And if I can get everything done in camera, in frame, centered up, lined up the way I want it, that's what I'll do.
Perfect. Perfect. That's such a great answer. It's so easy to just say, we'll just fix this in post, especially like, quote unquote, easy.
Yeah. And I just, the bigger shoots that I'm on now, I hear it so much, and it is true. Like the talent that it takes to fix things in post and the time is really difficult. So I always like, if we can spend an extra 30 minutes getting the photo right and avoid the 4 hours of editing that's going to happen on the back end, it's going to make my life easier. It's going to make their life easier, and everybody's going to be a lot happier.
Mm-hmm. I think that's one reason why a lot of people still really enjoy shooting film, is that like there's that additional challenge of getting it right in camera, knowing that the end goal isn't to bring it into Lightroom or Photoshop to make adjustments to be exactly how you look, but choosing the right film stock, choosing the, you know, the perfect settings, you know, getting out the light meter and making sure that everything exposure is perfect. I get that a lot. I totally understand that. Now, we have a active Facebook group, the Beginner Photography Podcast Facebook group. And believe it or not, just yesterday, somebody asked a question about product photography, and I thought, who better to ask? Yeah, I was like, I'm not even going to answer this question. I'm going to wait.
Yeah.
So Tash in the Beginner Photography Podcast Facebook group asked, she said, I landed my first product photography / branding gig. Right? Very exciting. She says, I have a meeting tomorrow to discuss the details. Any advice on questions I should ask? I'm so new to this. Now, yep. I know that this is a big question, right? And there's a lot of unknowns in here. But how would you tackle answering this question for Tash?
First off, a lot of brands will always start off with what's your rate? What's your cost? And what my advice is, don't give it. Not yet. You're not ready to give your cost, your rate, how much this is going to cost, because you don't know anything about it. You don't know what the shoot is going to entail. Is it going to be e-com? Is it going to be lifestyle? Is it going to be models? Is there going to be wardrobe? Or is there going to be, even if it's going to be like talent and it's just hands, like, do they need to get manicures? Is it going to be outside, indoor, studio? There are so many different aspects that haven't been answered yet. So when they ask that, because I'm sure that's going to be one of the first questions they ask, be ready for it and say, before I give you my rate, I'd love to learn more about your project and how we can work together to make your vision come to life. That's how I like to start my conversations. And I learn from them, like, okay, what are you looking to get done? How many photos do you think that'll be? How do we need to have props? Do we need to have a stylist? I don't know if it's a food brand or anything like that. Do we need to have a food stylist? Those are all little things I like asking. And if they're like, no, you know, this is something that isn't that level. We don't need a food stylist. We don't need wardrobe. We don't need talent. Great. You're starting to check the boxes of like, okay, we don't need that. There goes those costs. Now it really is about me and the product, and the expectations are set. And then you find out a little bit more about how many photos, what that might entail, deliverable dates, aspect ratios is another big one nowadays, because everybody wants it to fit 9x16, 16x9, 4x5, 1x1. And you kind of have to be able to take your photos with that in mind so that it works in all those variations. Or if it won't, then you're going to have to take more than that one photo they've talked about. I know that's a lot of questions to ask Tash. Tesh, I think it was, right?
Tash, yep.
Mm-hmm. Tesh, yep. So just don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't feel pressured to give your rate right off the bat. Really learn as much as you can about the brand. Like I talked about earlier, style guides are extremely helpful if they have one. It's probably more of an established brand if they do. And if they can share that with you, I think that's a great starting place. For you to learn more about the brand so you can make sure that you're hitting the mark where their expectations are for what they would expect to get.
So let's say they're not going to need stylist, not going to need wardrobe. This is going to be a product with a background, right? At that point, do you charge just based on your time? Do you charge based on, like, is there licensing involved? How can you walk me through any of that? That's a whole world in and of itself.
That's a whole world. The answer is yes, for all of it. Sometimes, but it'll make sense to charge as a day rate. Maybe it's because we're shooting e-com shots, or maybe it's because we're shooting something that is more rapid fire. And it wouldn't make sense for me to say, okay, I'm going to shoot, and it's one light setup, and oh, okay, it's $100 per e-com shot, but we're shooting 30 in one day, and I'm not changing anything. So it probably doesn't make sense for them. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I wouldn't charge that. I would charge a day rate and be like, okay, I can shoot 30 photos in one day. Here's what we can get done. And then here's what post-production would look like. Or if they're going to be taking care of post themselves. So I like to offer that as an option. And I think that's a good thing for photographers that are starting out. Is another great question for Tesh is, you know, are they handling post-production themselves, or will you be handling post? Because editing sometimes can take much longer than the day that it took to take the photo, or the time that it took to take the photo.
Sure. Sure. Of course. Yeah. That's one of those things. We had somebody else in the group recently talk about as a portrait session that they did. And, they thought that it went wonderful. Unfortunately, came back. They had a lot of revisions the couple wanted on their photos. And, it's one of those hard things. 'Cause it's like, if you don't know how to do that, is this one of those situations where you're ready to learn, or are you going to have to outsource this to somebody else? So figuring out and having that expectation laid out for a brand and what they're going to do with the photos afterwards, I can see how important that would be.
I think you did hit a good mark on there, is the revisions. That's something that's great to kind of set an expectation for. It's like 2 revisions, 3 revisions, 4 even, but really kind of letting them know. It's like, this won't be an ongoing process for the next 6 months. to get this portrait right, that then you're just kind of setting the bar, like, all right, final notes, here it is. But I mean, even on that sense, to anybody that's just starting out, getting their first clients and everything, it's like what I was talking about earlier, where I was saying, you know, when I was learning photography, based on the issues I would run into, I'd go and learn. You're going to learn the questions that you're going to need to be asking, because you're not going to ask every single time the right ones. I forget a lot of the times. I work with a producer, and he's been a like lifelong buddy of mine, and he still gets mad at me this day, because I'll agree to a shoot and he'll be like, you didn't ask these questions. And I was like, but it sounded fun. I figured we'd figure it out later. And but so it is a learning process. You're not going to nail it, but keep record and keep notes of like, okay, these are the great questions that I find valuable, because what I find valuable knowing might be very different for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is kind of a side business question, but yeah. I think it's important. When a brand comes to you for the first time and you work with them, what sorts of things do you do to create a lasting relationship so that hopefully you can work with them again in the future?
Under promise, over deliver. I think that's a huge one. And I know it's a little cliche, but I really believe in it. Also, I think what I like to boil it down to is making their life easier. And I use that as an example for not only photography, but any career that you're choosing, whoever that person you're working for, because technically when you work with a brand, you're working for them for that time. And whoever you're working for, even if it's a 9-to-5 job, if you're not making their life easier, you're not going to get hired again. They're not going to want to continue working with you. So that's what I always try and keep in mind, especially for new clients. It's like, okay, here's our stage that we've set. We've asked the questions. We agreed on the rate. Now I'm going to make your life easier than just sticking to what we talked about. I said 13 photos. I'm giving you 15. I'm on set and they say that they want to change something in the moment. Great. Even though we went through all the approved props and everything like that, we're going to figure out how to make you happy and get it done on set. If they ask for, oh, can you make these little revisions? And it takes me just a little bit more time, I'm going to say yes. Like, I want to make sure that they feel like they're getting value from me at the end of the day, that they walk away a happy client. And it doesn't have this feeling of tension of like, oh, I can't ask this person because they'll revert back to their contract, or they'll just say, that's not what I'm supposed to be doing. That's not in my role, my scope. Even on big shoots, like this big shoot that I just did with a financial institution, I'm the director. I'm not even touching camera. But what we needed to do, and the client wanted to add in, was this one moment where we needed a hand model. And instead of me saying, we can't do that because we didn't get an approved person to come in here and do this, that's specialized, I said, great. I took off my bracelets. I went in and I was a hand model. And it was, and I'm like, don't worry about it, because I want to get this shot. I want you to be happy. We're going to be flexible on set. And to me, that creates much better long lasting relationships than if I had said, well, we didn't approve that, so we can't do that.
Yeah. Oh, I bet that, you know, I think it's so interesting, because it's like, I guess when I ask questions like that, I think many people are expecting like a hard answer, right? Like, well, you do this or you don't do that. But mm-hmm. I think really in business, you find that sometimes the line is a little bit more blurred, right? You're more willing to, if you didn't have a hand model, you know what, I'm just going to reach in there and make sure that I can get this.
Yeah.
But if somebody comes back and they're like, you know what, we need to Photoshop all these backgrounds to be totally different, knowing that's going to be an additional charge. You know, that's going to be more than what is required. Totally. So sometimes you just got to figure these things out on your own.
You got to figure those things out. You have to choose your battles, basically. Mm. Now, if these are battles that can be fixed and be done with quickly, I always say just err on the side of making them happy. Now, if it's something that's going to be a way bigger ask and it's going to be dragged on, like it, and it's obvious that this is a much bigger task than just being like, hey, can I get a favor? Obviously, you know, hold yourself accountable and be like, no, this is what we agreed on. But yeah, you know, at the end of the day, everybody's a person. Like if it's a brand, if it's a talent, if it's you, and everybody has their own business, and it doesn't matter. They're still people. If people say it's just business, and not personal. They're liars. Everything is personal. And no matter how it's done, they're going to feel a certain way about it. Even when it's a big brand, it's like, it's not their money, but it's still like, it affects people. They want to know that they're getting value and working with somebody that's easy. So boil it down. The business, it's all business. It's not personal. Bunch of BS. It always is personal.
Yeah, I found that as well. Even when it's not somebody's money, it's still like people just want to feel like they're being taken care of and feel like
they want to be feeling like they're taken care of. Like You ever walk into like a nice restaurant and they automatically bring bread to the table? Oh, yes. It feels so good. I feel so welcomed and versus like they just stand there and I wait for my drinks or a drink order or something. So
exactly
the same thing.
Yeah.
People just want to be taken care of.
This is one of my last questions for you, as I know that we are coming to the end of our time here. But now having experience in photography, shooting many, different types of products and having different setups and doing all these creative, different ideas to challenge yourself. Mm-hmm. What is something in photography that you wish that you had learned earlier?
I wish I picked up the camera earlier.
You mean just in life?
Just in life, just like I wish I found it earlier, but I found it in the way that made sense to me. So it is what it is. I think it's just getting out of your head. And it's not that difficult to really, do. But I think there's so many different ideas and people out there that we find, we get influence from, that it goes back to what I was saying. It's like, we'll never be that. And it's almost... And we get an idea of like, oh, I want to do this photo shoot with this product. And then you're like, maybe it won't look good. Or maybe I need this and I don't have access to that equipment. Or I need to spend a little bit of money and I don't have money to spend on it. And it keeps you from trying. And that is probably the worst thing you can do as a learning photographer or even an experienced photographer. If you're not trying and your own mind is stopping you from even trying, then you've already lost. And you really, really just are going to benefit so much from just learning along the way. Yes, this photo shoot that you're planning in your head that you're just doing to try and learn something, it might not look good. You might never post it, but I guarantee you, you're going to learn something from it. So I always just let people know, just try and have fun with it. It's really simple.
Wouldn't it be great if we could gain experience without actually having to do the thing?
Yeah, exactly. It's like the Matrix, the scene in the Matrix. And it's like, oh, I know Kung Fu. That's not going to happen. We all wish we had that, but it's going to take practice.
Yeah.
And it's okay. Don't look at these people and think you're going to be like them that maybe you follow or aspire to be like. You're not going to be like them off the bat.
Yeah.
You may never be like them because you're going to develop your own style along the way. So don't use it as your beacon. Use it as somebody that inspires you to get out there and go for your own goals and your own dreams.
That is so great. That is so great. Evan, I know that we are here at the end of our time, and I know that there's going to be listeners who are interested in learning more about what it is that you do and seeing some examples of your work, which, of course, I'm going to post in the show notes. But where else can we learn more about you and see some of your work?
Yeah. So you can find my work on Instagram at Evan_Naka, also on TikTok, same name, Evan_Naka, YouTube, Evan Naka. So pretty across the board, that's what you can find me at. You can find our professional website at nakastudios.com to see a little bit more of the professional side. We are starting our own podcast, the Decent Humans podcast, where we will be talking more about photographers, filmmakers, aspiring entrepreneurs, agents, talent side, where I just want to get a full encompassing view of, this creator world as we're in this next generation of creators.
So much in this interview today with Evan Tanaka. I think my biggest takeaway was how important it is to experiment as much as possible, right? That idea of giving yourself that extra time to just try something and being okay if it fails. I really think that, if you're going into photography as a career or as a, quote unquote job, you are expected to deliver something to whoever's paying you for your work, right? It's not just, hey, I'm an artist, expect, let me do whatever I am, whatever I do, and you just accept it. That doesn't always work. And it's not, a practical idea to move forward with your photography. So being able to ensure that you do capture exactly what the client wants, and then moving on to being able to capture what it is that you want, is going to keep photography from feeling like a job, right? And I do this at weddings as well, right? You know, you got to take those family photos. They're not necessarily fun. You know, you got to take a photo of the rings. Isn't necessarily something that's fun to me, you know. But when it comes time for portraits, I'm going to go out of my way to, after, you know, we take the, you know, look at the camera, smile, because this is a photo that your parents are going to love. I really go out of my way to try something different. Wait until it's nighttime. Bring out the flash. Find an interesting composition. Find an interesting element at the venue that can be incorporated into these photos. Those are the photos. Those are the moments that really get me excited and make wedding photography not feel like a job. And obviously, Evan has been able to do the same thing with product photography, and his clients like it too. Now, before we leave, I want to take a moment to showcase Skazi, our listener of the week, Skazi, for leaving the podcast a 5-star rating and review in Apple Podcasts. Skazi says, "I'm trying to gain more experience and learn from those who have amazing experience in photography, and the Beginner Photography Podcast has pushed my enthusiasm and has already helped me to view photography in new and interesting ways." Skazi, you are onto something. You know, we all see the world in a unique way based on our different life experiences. So hearing about how a photographer who has their own unique life experiences share something about photography, you're going to hear it in a different way than they intended, than somebody else who's listening to it. And that is great, because now you are able to take the information that you heard and then put it into practice in your photography and run with it. You know, try something new and interesting, and you'll be sure to achieve your goals in photography sooner than you could have hoped. So again, Skazi, thank you so much for leaving the show a 5-star rating and review. So if you are listening on Spotify, which an increasing number of you are, you can leave the podcast a star rating right on the show's main page. Now, that is it for this week. Thank you again for tuning into this week's episode of the Beginner Photography Podcast, brought to you by CloudSpot, which is the easiest way to deliver and sell photos online. You can get started for free and learn more about CloudSpot by heading over to deliverphotos.com. And remember, the more that you shoot today, the better you will be tomorrow. Talk soon.
Thank you for listening to the Beginner Photography Podcast. If you enjoy the show, consider leaving a review in iTunes. Keep shooting, and we'll see you next week.